Going from strength to strength, we can't do better than introduce Emil Koroshenko, who claims to be the world's strongest strongman. Give him a pack of cards and he'll call for two packs, 104 cards, and gosh, what a hand. Ask him to cut them and just to be awkward, he'll tear them. That's the sort of man Corporal Koroshenko is. He's a member, by the way, of the Czechoslovak forces in this country. Koroshenko's proportions are all to scale. Put a heavy chain, complete with a padlock, round his manly chest, and he'll show you how to expand it, that is, the manly chest, from 49.5 inches to 56 inches. He's a snappy little chap, is our Emil. He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it. His neck measures nearly 21 inches, and as you can see, there is enormous strength at both ends. Bending the bar across the neck was a comparatively simple matter. Bending the bar over the nose is more of a family affair. But our smiling corporal hasn't finished yet. He's told us that what he's about to do now, he'd like to do with the neck of that other corporal. A good start, isn't it? But he's a very determined fellow, and that neck's got a lot coming to it yet. Emil always did have an artistic bent, whether with metal or miniatures, and he's been doing this sort of thing for 14 years. He is 30 and weighs 18 stone 8. Before the war, he says, he thought nothing of eating 24 eggs for breakfast. Now, in the army, he just thinks, nothing. Koroshenko was a champion wrestler, too, and he often tied his opponents in knots like this. And there you are, V for victory in iron.
All right, guys, thanks for supporting the show. I got a list of sponsors here. So first off, we got Harito Bending, harito-bending.com. You're going to use promo code CHEERS for 10% off. And a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. So I appreciate that. You know, everybody wants to be on the Harito cert list. I haven't heard a bad thing about the quality of his bolts. I can personally say that they're the same every time. Some really hard bolts on there. You got certs for every style, including snapping. He's also got wraps and t-shirts on there. So definitely hit up HaritoBending.com and use the promo code CHEERS. Next, we got Jed Johnson's Nail Bending eBook. If you want to check this eBook out, if you're a beginner, message me for the link, because if you use this link, a portion of that sale is going to come back to support the show. We also have the Gripito Trainer. This is an all-in-one grip training tool. If you use promo code Beyond the Bend, you're going to save 15% off of a sale of $90 or more. We also have Gil, former guest, BarrelStrengthSystems.com. Use promo code Beyond for 10% off. Gil's got a ton of cool stuff on there, including the flask. This is a pinch device. If you can do a body weight pull up on this thing, you're going to get on a roster. I think that's pretty cool. All right. Lastly, we have Hard Life Fightwear. That's hardlifefightwear.com or .co.uk. If you want some rash guards or something like that for jujitsu, they also got a bunch of other cool t-shirts on there. You're going to use promo code Beyond the Bend for 15% off. Also, if you want to get on a roster, an unofficial roster, hit up at Eat Chalk Get Big on Instagram. If you bent an 80D unbraced or two 60Ds taped together unbraced, you're going to get on an unofficial roster. The other thing is, if you snapped a horseshoe, I don't need a video. I'm keeping track of people who have snapped horseshoes just because it's a cool thing to do. If you've also snapped one into three pieces, hit me up. or if you've snapped one laying down. There's only two people on that list, so get on it. Last thing, a couple new things coming up. I'm going to be putting out a feat of the week. This isn't really a challenge more than just like something cool to do week by week. It's going to be just like some athletic stuff mixed with some bending and snapping. So I'm going to be putting that out. And the only way to participate is just to do it and then tag me in the post and throw it up on Instagram or Facebook. The other thing is every month I'm going to be doing a monthly challenge. We've had some really good participation lately. I want to keep that going. I have some really cool things planned. So I really appreciate everybody's support and looking forward to another good year. All right, thanks.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right, Beth, welcome to Beyond the Bend.
Hi, it's good to be here.
All right, we'll start it like we always do. Tell me about the first time you saw someone bend some steel.
Okay, so actually I don't have the usual kind of origin story, I guess, because I've never seen anybody bend steel in person, unless it was like somebody that like I was showing them stuff. But I can tell you when I first became aware of steel bending as a thing, and I'm pretty sure it was when I went to the York Barbell Museum.
Oh, cool.
So out in York, PA, you know, like York used to be like it was like the rogue of its day. They made like all the barbells and whatever. And so it's out of York, PA, and there's a museum there now. Like the company still exists, but they have like this little weightlifting hall of fame, and they have, I actually went out that direction for an all round lifting meet. And I was like, oh, I have to see this while I'm there, because they have a bunch of like historical old like barbells and stuff. They have Louis Sears dumbbell. They have the only cast of Eugene Sandow's body that was like made from his body that is on public display. There have only like been a few copies of it made. And so I got to like look Eugene Sandow in the eyes through. That was amazing. They have a bunch of like cool old stuff. And they had like a little section like off in a corner that just kind of perplexed me, because it was like there's like an autographed picture of the Mighty Atom, and there's a bunch of stuff that he had bent and broken and whatever. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking this like, but why? Like, why would you bend things? Why would you break things? I want to say, I might not be remembering perfectly, but I want to say there were like license plates that had been torn and like a wrench that he broke and like things like that. And I remember thinking like, that's wasteful and stupid. Why would like people be excited about these feats of strength that are just like breaking things? And so like, that was my first reaction, was just being sort of perplexed. Like, why is this a thing? Like, I get that you have to be strong to do it, but I don't get it. And then that would have been like 2019. And so a few other times since then, I just sort of like, you know, people would mention steel bending, or, you know, like I, you know, was into like some grip training type stuff, and people would mention it every now and then. And I would maybe see somebody bending something on Instagram. And every time I was like, I don't get it. Why is anybody doing this? And so when I did it at first myself, it was like, just because if I see something I don't understand, something, sometimes I just have to try it. It's like, I need to find out why it's like this. And so that was what, and it was sort of like a slow lead up too. It was like, I was buying some grippers and I like threw in some of the Iron Mind pads, just like in case I wanted to bend something someday. And anyhow, eventually I tried it myself and I was like, oh, now I get it.
Right. Exactly. And what time frame was that when you actually first tried it?
The first time I did it was just a few months ago. I'm pretty sure it was January of this year.
Okay, cool. Yeah. The quarantine lockdown scenario definitely did a lot, I think, for the home training, like the grip world in general, but, you know, specifically bending, like locked in your house with something like Instagram. I think that was like, this probably was the biggest peak of bending, you know, in a long time, maybe if ever.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because like the bar has been raised, I think, you know, with everybody being so active.
Yeah. I know you guys talk about like the bending class of 2020. So I'm like class of 2021. Cause like I've been seeing you guys do it. Like I was like Instagram friends with Devin Hoover before this and like yeah. I would see him bending stuff. And every now and then I'd ask him like, what's like the easiest thing a person could bend? Like where would somebody get started? And I remember I asked him these questions like a few times before I actually got around to doing it. I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. Right. And yeah. And so it's like, you know, like the class of 2020 is now like inspiring the class of 2021. So
yeah, you know, you guys for are,
like,
sure.
Passing the torch.
Yeah. You have to get a few people together and start a group chat where you just like egg each other on like we did. It's funny you mentioned Devin's Instagram because Instagram or the algorithm or something must just like love Devin because he was one of the first people I saw bending too. It like maybe just the way he hashtags things or something, but I feel like he is a lot of people's like gateway into bending. And I just find that interesting because obviously there's plenty more people doing it, but must be some way he's like tagging it that like exposes it to the masses, which is a good thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. So what did he say to try to bend, like a spiral 60 or something, like or like a get a white male or
yeah, I was asking like what is the easiest thing because I was worried that I wouldn't be able to do any of it. And uh-huh. You know, especially when you look at like who's bending stuff, like it's a lot of like big guys, and I was like, I don't know if I can do any of this, like what is the easiest? And he said that he had some people he knows do some 3/16 cold rolled round stock. And I was, you know, and I forget exactly like who he knew that bent them, but, you know, but it sounded like, okay, I should be able to do that. And so, so I went to the hardware store and that's what I got. And I cut it into 7-inch pieces and like 6 and 5-inch pieces. And then I had those Iron Mine wraps. And so the day that I did it, I was like, okay, all right, let's see this. And like, I watched all the videos on like how you do it, where you put it in your hands, how you wrap it. And I did it. And I'm like wrapping it up and like trying to wrap it correctly. And I'm thinking like, this is a big pain in the butt if I can't bend it. But I wrapped it up and I did it. And I did everything exactly like it said in the videos. And I'm like pushing on it and it's not bending and it's not bending. I was like, I thought this was stupid. Now I think it's stupid and impossible. And just as I had that thought, it went. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, and I have it on video, the moment where I just like look at it and my face is just like, what? And then I'm immediately like, what else can I bend?
Right.
Like
right.
In that moment, I got it. It was like, now I need to know what else I can bend.
For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. So you knew how to wrap it, right? You were wrapping on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was like hearing like the origin wrapping stories, because even though I kind of, I don't know if I knew like, but I just like rolled it straight up in like a single wrap. I was like, didn't know to like put the Iron Mine wraps in like thirds and like put a ton of chalk on them and the whole thing. So I just like twirled it up in like a single pad, like you see people doing like, on the Harito site, there's like a cert for the single Iron Mine pad, which just like hurts terribly, but it's pretty cool anyway. So where did it go from there? What was your next, what did you find to bend next?
So I did the different lengths of the 3/16. Actually, give me one second, because I actually have a notebook. I'll be right back.
Oh, nice. That's something I need to start doing is the, keeping notes of my training for sure. She's just grabbing the notebook. Awesome.
All right, so I'm not sure. I think I like ended up going back and kind of backfilling what was in the notebook later on, but.
That's so great. Did you see my episode with Steve Wiener?
No, I didn't. Where
he had his notebooks from like 98, like in his, nice. In his training room. Like he's like, I could tell you what, he opens up to a page like, because I don't take any notes. I need to start doing this for my lifting and grappling, because I'm sure I've like forgotten moves that I could be like teaching people or whatever. And I know that if I had like a better idea than just like my mental note of like my maxes and stuff, it would just be so much better. So
I think
I'll start taking notes.
Yeah, I use, you know, notebooks for my training, like my lifting, and like I write everything in there. I write my PRs. I use it to for like every workout. I use it to like maybe plan out things I want to do. So I have a bending notebook, but I usually do the bending like here in the house versus out, you know, in the garage or whatever. And so I'm not great about keeping it updated, but so January 18th was when I bent the first thing. I bent 7-inch, 6-inch, and 5-inch pieces of 3/16. And I may have tried a 20 penny at that point. I didn't write down the things that I tried, or somewhere I might have the things that I tried and couldn't bend. But but then a week later, I snapped 3/16. And point, I had the leather wraps. And I really like the leather wraps. And I did a 20 penny. And then...
All right.
And I remember trying 3/16 square and I couldn't get it. And it was like so hard. Like I was working on it like for minutes and it didn't bend. And I put it down and I came back to it. And I was working on it again for like minutes. It didn't bend. And then after I finally got that 20 penny, I was like, oh, maybe I should try the square again. And then this time it just folded like nothing. Like I must have like figured out my technique or whatever. Like I thought it was impossible. And then it was just like, boom, it just went. And so I did that in 7-inch and 6-inch. And on that same day, I got my first timber tie. That was a big day. And then the week after that, so we're up to February, mid-February, I did quarter inch, a 7-inch piece of quarter inch cold rolled. And I got, and I tried a grade 2 bolt and I could only kink it and couldn't get it any further than that.
Okay.
And then at the end of February, I got my 60 penny. Which is still the best thing I've done. So
awesome.
So it was really interesting how for the longest time it was like each bending session I would be like, wow, this is what I can bend, but I definitely can't do this other stuff.
Yeah.
And then later on I would come back to that and just like fold it like it was nothing. And so I think that like I think I've kind of like found where my strength is, like where my limit is at the moment. And it's like I have some 60 pennies that I can bend fairly easily, and then I have a different batch of 60 pennies that look the same but I can't bend them, or like I can
Just
like almost. So that's kind of where I am. And it's really wild to see things that like I definitely couldn't do, that I was working very hard at and could not get, like the grade 2 bolt. When I couldn't get it, I was like, wow, that's, it'll be a while before I get that. And then at some point later on, I got myself like a box of grade 2 bolts and I was just going through them like nothing.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think there's like a lot of things going on when someone starts this, because it's a very, you're honing your technique. You're also exploring this sort of like belief in yourself, doing this weird thing that requires a ton of like, belief in yourself, you know, really like and I think there's like some, to some extent, like momentum within it that like pushes you along. Like I don't know if it's just conditioning your CNS or something like that, but it's, I've definitely had moments where I like conquered the thing that was troubling me and then leveled up even one beyond that, like you were saying. Like it's like I just came here to do this today, but then I did it like an inch shorter or whatever. And it's just like, it's been a really, really interesting year plus with this stuff, because I've never really experienced anything that's like so mysterious in a way, which kind of sounds like a little goofy or something, but it's like,
it's true though, because it's, you know, like when you lift a weight, you're like, oh, okay, I'm putting 5 pounds more on. But when you pick up a different piece of steel, like it's a different piece of steel. It may even have been like manufactured differently, you know, like my 60 pennies where I have some I can bend and some I can't. And I think you're absolutely right about like learning to believe in yourself, because the, you know, like it sounds so cheesy, but like the things that I couldn't bend on my first day, like I didn't get stronger. Like I got, I kind of figured out the technique a little bit better, but like an awful lot of it was just like being stubborn and just like getting pissed off at it and like you are going to bend today and you just try harder.
Right. Yeah, just like finding that limit, That's what is really interesting, and it's been covered so much by so many people on here, but it's like worth talking about because it's just like such an important component in bending. Is just like the battle starts when your strength is basically maximized. You know what I mean? Like you lay into it with everything you have, and then you have to start pushing. You know what I mean? Like it's like,
yeah,
for like near max effort bends. It's really, really, really unique like that. And I know what you mean about those 60s because I was doing blue nails and like maybe some other stuff. And I was like, all right, well, I like need more volume. So I ordered a 55 pound box of 60Ds. And when these things got here, they're so hard. And even like to this day, I'd like to get them rated because I think they're very close to grade 5 bolts, maybe like even harder or something.
You and I must have the exact same nails. That's exactly what it was. Like I had the ones that worked. I was like, let me just get a few more. And
yep.
Yeah. And like, I do feel like they're about as hard as grade 5s because I've been trying grade 5s and like,
yeah,
like maybe I can get a little bit of movement, maybe a little bit. And that's about what it's been for these like harder 60 pennies. So.
Yep. It's shocking. And I haven't really experienced that variety too much in anything else. Like the red nails, definitely there's a good bit of variety in those. But as far as like the grade 5s and the grade 8s, they don't seem to vary that much in like strength. I've definitely noticed a bit of difference with snapping them. Some grade 5s last forever and then some give up pretty quickly. And then like same deal with the grade 8s, but they give up a little quicker anyway. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's totally weird the way things vary. But so take me back to your athletic background. I know like Devin told me you've done a whole bunch of stuff. Were you always athletic growing up, or what was your story and strength basically?
So I was not an athletic kid. And I remember playing softball as a kid, and like I was like the worst player on the field, and they would keep like moving me around to like wherever I could do the least damage. Like I was in right field.
Right field, yeah.
And they figured out they could put me as a catcher because like at softball at that level, like the catcher doesn't really do anything. So like they would just do that and like try not to throw anything to home plate.
Yeah.
So I was not athletic at all until this is kind of silly, but like I went to college, I had to do some kind of PE credit, and I'm like, I did what I never do for academic subjects, which is I looked at the course catalog and picked the thing that looked the easiest. And it was like this cardio fitness class where like 90% of the class was just you show up to the campus fitness center and you go on the treadmill or whatever machine of your choice for half an hour, and like that's your class for that day. And but like it was kind of funny because it just like got me in the habit of going to the gym. And this was like in the days before smartphones or podcasts or whatever. So like,
sure,
you'd get bored, you'd pick up a magazine. They were all like fitness magazines. So I'm in there right, reading about like, oh, you could do this dumbbell routine or you could do this. And by the end of the class, I was like, oh, I guess I might as well keep going to the gym. Seems to be good for me. And, yeah. And actually when that semester was over, I went home. I was like, well, now what? Because I don't have like a gym membership or whatever. Maybe I'll start running. And so I started, you know, running. And that was another thing that like, I thought I hated running. Like anytime we had to like run in gym class or whatever, I was terrible at it. I was slow at it, whatever. And I was just like, maybe I can do this thing that I thought I hated. And it turns out I could. And, you know, I've never been a great runner, but like, I was like, oh yeah, this is a thing I can do. This is a thing I can work on getting better at. And so, you know, anyhow, like so it was still a long time after that before I got into any like serious athletics, but let's see, around 2007, I started playing roller derby. And
okay,
that was probably like the first like real serious sport that I was into. And there was like technique to learn. There was, you know, because like I wasn't very good as a roller skater, I just like wasn't afraid to try. And so like I learned to skate, and I was part of like a small group of people trying to get a team started. So then it ended up that like I was actually, you know, in this small group, you know, before too long I was like one of the more experienced people with like better technique and maybe a little bit fitter or stronger than some of these people we were trying to bring on who are brand new. And so then I was like teaching and coaching other people. And at the same time, I was like lifting weights to get stronger, to be better at roller derby. I was like running more to have better endurance, to be better at roller derby, and like
right.
And sort of like snowballed together. So
yep.
I didn't really find strength sports until, I want to say like 2018 was when I started training seriously. So just a few years ago. And I thought that I would want to do, like, I just liked being strong. I was like, okay, well, I'll do like a starting strength kind of program. I'll get into powerlifting. I'll squat and bench and deadlift. And I did, and that was great. But somewhere along the line, I actually ran into somebody at the gym who was into all round lifting. Uh-huh. And so this is the odd lifts. It's very funny to have somebody at the gym try to like explain to you between sets what all round lifting is, because it is weird as hell. But it's this organization that does all the weird lifts, all the lifts that like you thought were lost to history, all the lifts sure. that like nobody would bother to, you know, that don't get contested in like normal meets. And so like you might compete in like Zercher squats or like one-handed awesome. Deadlifts or, you know, like all these different weird variations of other lifts. And so I ended up, so this was summer of 2019. That summer I spent like the whole summer working on bent press. So not bench yeah. press, but like
yeah, oh yeah.
you have a barbell in one hand at your shoulder, you bend your body over until you're sort of folded in half underneath the weight that is now above your head, and then you stand up with it. And that is like the historical way that people would like lift the most weight over their head with one hand. And I thought yep. that was really cool. I actually, that was another thing that I started working on it before I realized even how it worked or like what made this lift so special. I was like going through a list of these with a friend who was like, oh, maybe try this, maybe try that. Trying to find something, because the competitions in all round, some of the competitions are just record days. So you find a place in your, like a place in the record books that's either blank or that you think you can beat the record that's there. And there's so many different lifts and so many age groups and so many weight classes that it's not hard to find a spot. And so I was like, oh, bent press. That's one of the ones that doesn't have a record. And so I'm like, what is bent press? I'm like reading about it. And I'm like, I tried it. And I sent a video to my friend. He's like, no, it's not quite right. And yeah. so I tried it again. And like, by the time I got the hang of it, you know, it was like 2 weeks of trying it every day, because it is a weird ass lift. Like it doesn't,
oh yeah,
it doesn't happen unless you do it right. And so it, like, it's very techniquey and whatever. So by the time I had answered the question, what is a bent press? I was already starting to get like better at it. So it's like, well, might as well see where this goes. And so, and that was also one where there were actually no records for women at all. Like everybody cool. who had set a record in it had been a guy. And I was like, well, I guess I would be the first woman to set a record in this. And so I did it for, so I actually got both a national and an international record. So I have a world record in the bent awesome. Press in this one specific, very weird, small organization. But
yes, was, totally.
So like my first introduction to competition was setting a world record in something that most people have never heard of. And so it's all, that was sort of the start of, you know, all the weird stuff I do.
Yeah, you're speaking to a bunch of people that are totally down with that, because we're operating in a thing that's like 500 people worldwide, you know, or something like that. So it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, there's like things that I did for David Horn's like roster, and you know, I'd like post it on my Instagram. People would be, oh my god, that's amazing, like you have a world record or something. I'd be like, yeah, it's like 200 people maybe even know about this thing. So it's like, yeah. But it's still cool. And the bent press is so difficult. That is like, I've played around with that, and like even with like a 15-pound kettlebell, I'm like falling over basically. It's the most
yeah.
heinous feeling move. And I'm sure I'm missing like 10 crucial details with it, but that was like a very humbling thing to attempt. And I can't even imagine that people like put heavy weight up doing that.
Yeah, I mean, when you put heavy weight on it, like you have to make it heavy to force yourself to do it right. Cause like if it's light, like you're just not gonna get it. So like when I was like trying to work it out. I was using like a 30-pound dumbbell, and that was still like probably too light. I had to go up to like 50, 60 pounds to even get the sense of like how it's supposed to work.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so the best I've done so far is like 85 pounds or something like that. Like I could probably do more now if I were to take some more time to like train it specifically, but
cool.
I was aiming to get like at least over like 50% body weight. I think it ended up being like 58% or something like that.
Nice.
And nice. I would love to do a body weight bent press at some point. I'll have to come back to it and like spend some more time, like really like honing the technique, because it is not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be really cool. So was there like a culture around the all around lifting? Was like Strongman Archaeology like popping on Instagram and Atlas Power Shrugged and those dudes, or was that not happening yet?
Yeah. So this was not very long ago. So Strongman Archaeology was one of the people that like I found his group on Facebook first, I think.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so I was like getting some pointers from him and looking at his videos. And I actually, one of the first things I did was I started following the bent press hashtag to see like who else was doing it. And I find it really interesting when I'm trying to learn a lift to follow the hashtag on Instagram, because then you'll see a bunch of it and you'll see people doing it well and you'll see people doing it badly and you'll see different ways people are doing it. And you'll start to get a sense of, you know, like the little game I play with myself is like when like a bent press or something pops up, I try to figure out before they start the lift, like just from like how they handle themselves as they're getting into position, whether it's going to be like a good lift or a really like crappy lift. And like if it's like a big guy with a small weight, it's going to be bad. They're just going to lean over and side press it. But yeah, like I found that a really interesting way of like learning technique and just sort of like studying technique and like the different ways people do it and stuff.
Yeah.
This guy with the handle Icebox Kettlebell, who's excellent at bent press, and he's done over body weight bent press with barbell, with dumbbell, I think. So I just really like learning like weird old lifts, and all round is a lot like bending in that like you can name most of the people who are into it.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a bunch in, so there's USAWA is the US organization, and then IAWA is the UK organization, which handles the like international meets. And there's a few other people scattered around the world, but it's just kind of like a handful of people who all know each other over here and a handful of people who all know each other over there. And the competitions are mostly like in people's basements and stuff.
Yeah. That sounds like bending and grip for sure. And I'm sure there's plenty of crossover.
Yeah,
with people doing that stuff. Yeah, when I saw that that dude, I don't know his first name, I guess, but Atlas Power Shrugged Instagram. Mm-hmm. My like, there's been few like, you know, I feel like you kind of tap into this world and your mind is expanded at like what people are out here doing. You know, it's like there's something totally insane. Like, for instance, like you watch Bud Jeffries like Instagram, and like I'm blown away every time he posts something, you know what I mean? And like, and that's like way more interesting to me than like 1,000-pound squat, you know, which is also insanely hard and wildly impressive. But it's like when I saw the Atlas Power Shrugged Instagram, my eyes were like bugging out of my head, because it's like the most bizarre looking lifts in a parking lot, like, and with the most weight ever. Like his Instagram is the best. Like I love seeing that guy's posts.
Yeah. What I really like about it is he's doing like the weird trick lifts, but like he takes them seriously. He takes them very seriously. And so like, you know, a lot of people will do like an Arthur lift with like just the bar, like 95 pounds or something. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do this with 300 pounds. Watch me do it.
Right.
And totally. You know, I can really respect that.
Yeah, absolutely. The two hand anyhow or whatever he's been doing recently are very interesting looking. I was like sort of like sizing up my stuff in my gym downstairs. Like, what if I like press this and then grab that? It was like nothing worth sharing yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something that, you know, if I ever get back to like heavy bent presses, I'd love to do like a super heavy two hands anyhow. And like, you know, maybe take that to the all round, you know, gold cup or something, one of the competitions where you can like do whatever you want and, you know, see how big a record I can set.
Yeah, that's cool. So is that kind of where you settled into the all around lifting, or did you get into more stuff as well?
I got into more stuff after that. So
that rules.
So I did, so after that first competition where I did the bent press, the guy who had introduced me to this in the first place, who goes to my gym and who I would see sometimes, after that, he was like, so I know you're planning on doing a powerlifting meet, but here's what I'm thinking. Why would you want to do a local powerlifting meet when you could go to the world championships of all round lifting and be a world champion? And I was like, no, that, you know, like I knew about this. I was like, no, that's ridiculous. I would have to like learn 7 different lifts that I've never done before and fly to Kansas and like, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, no, absolutely not. But then I like couldn't get that out of my head. And, right. You know, like I like to do things that I thought were impossible. And I'm like, well, maybe this is one of those things. And so I ended up doing it. I had like 2 or 3 months to prepare and I had to learn all these different lifts. And one of them was a hang snatch. So it's just a snatch, but like you pick up the bar first and then you do it like from your knees or whatever. And I was like, okay, I've done something like a snatch once because I went to like a CrossFit class a few times. But I was like, I'm not flying all the way to Kansas to half-ass this with what I remember from a CrossFit class a year ago. So I went and looked up weightlifting gyms in Pittsburgh and I ended up at Pittsburgh Fitness Project. And I was like, teach me how to do a hang snatch. And so the way they do it is like, you come in, you show them your lifts and then they tell you if you should take like this intro class or that intro class or, you know, what you should do. And I did it and they were like, yeah, okay, that's not too bad. Welcome to the team. And I'm like, team, what? And they're like, welcome to the team. So they just like handed me an intro program and I started working out there. And so, so the thing about all round, as fun as it is, like I would find it hard to do nothing but that. So it's good to have something else to sort of like have like a normal lifting focus. So, which I had thought would be like powerlifting or something, but I did a powerlifting meet and then basically haven't really done that since. So, so now Olympic lifting is my thing. So I've done a whole bunch of competitions now in Olympic lifting. I am still very much a beginner in that sport, but it's been like a year and a half now. And I'm like actually starting to feel like I understand how to do a snatch. Like, yeah, it's right. A long time. And this is like the opposite of, you know, all round or bending where there's like only a few people and you just like find your little niche and you can be like really good at this one thing that other people might not be good at. It's like, yep. There are so many people who are so much better than me. There are children who snatch more than I do. Like it's very humbling and it really shows you like how long a road you can have, but how far you can get if you work really hard. And
yeah,
so it's like satisfying in the exact opposite way as like bending or grip.
Yeah. Yeah. I can understand that for sure. It's like, sometimes the like sort of like never ending aspect or sort of like the infinite ladder to climb is like a little bit, relieving, I think, because we do love this stuff and it's like, you wouldn't want to have like a ceiling in something, you know? So it's like, that's what I kind of feel with like martial arts or specifically grappling is like, I know I'm never gonna understand it all, you know, I'm never gonna be so good that I can't get any better. And it's like kind of nice that the pursuit will never end, you know. And that's like sort of what I feel like with my strength training in general now is like, I've really sort of like you were saying, you want to get stronger for the sake of like being better at roller derby. That was like my whole motivation going into all of this, you know, like when things kind of closed down here, it was like, all right, I'm out of jiu-jitsu for the foreseeable future. I'm not going to not train in some way. So it's just like, I'm going to put all my focus into getting stronger. And, you know, from there, that's like, I discovered grip and then bending and, you know, so on and so on. But it's like, you know, now a year plus later, it's such another important thing to me that I don't think I'll ever stop strength training, you know? And it's like, I also am relieved that like, there are all these all different facets you can have with it. And there's also no definitive end to it. You know, it's like, maybe, you know, one day I'll be exploring the Olympic lifting or whatever. And it's just kind of cool that it's like, it's so deep and it's so infinite in a way. And,
yeah, it's like there's no limits. And like, there are people showing you right now that there are no limits.
Right, right. It's a totally wild thing. It's like, it's been an eye-opening year. It's been so fun to talk to so many different people and their experience with like the similar thing. It's been so cool. So what, besides the bent press record, what are some of the stuff that you've been able to do, bending included, that you are most proud of? Like, what are some of the lifts and bends that are like ones that really stick out to you?
Okay. Well, so in bending, it would have to be the 60 penny that nice. I'm just like, I'm really proud of that. And especially when you see people talking about like 60 penny being like sort of like a standard of like, you're strong now or whatever.
I think it's pretty cool
that like, you know, in lifting in general, I'm not like super strong. Like there are so many people who are so much stronger than me. And it's really cool that like, that is a thing that I was able to do. I'm trying to think like, what are my other things? Like I'm around a 3-plate deadlift right now, which is like awesome. Super exciting to me. Like,
yeah,
I remember when like I tried a 2-plate deadlift and like really wanted to get it. And then I got it one day and then I couldn't get it again for like weeks after that. And like 2 plates was just like this elusive thing. And now like 2 plates is like maybe a warm up. Like I might even skip that as I'm warming up for my work sets for the day. And like, it's just really awesome to like be able to look back and see what I've done.
Right.
And in Olympic lifting, my best, so I actually have a meet coming up. So I'm, so this week, you know, who knows, I might do better than this, but like I've done a 55 kilo snatch, which is the blue plates on a women's bar. And like snatches are so hard. Like it was so hard to like get good at them. Not that I'm good yet, but like being able to snatch the blues was like huge for me. And I haven't done like a body weight snatch yet, but I've done a body weight clean and jerk. So I'm very excited about that.
Nice.
So let me think, what are some other things that I've done? I've done so many different things. I'm like, oh, which ones am I proud of?
Right.
Good ones. But I think those are like some of the big things.
Cool. And what's your normal training week looking like these days, including bending? Like how does that fit in with the other stuff?
So the way I do my training these days is I consider Olympic lifting to be my top priority. So, and my coach will give me a program. So whatever he gives me, that's like my top priority. Everything else goes around that. So right now what I'm doing is Mondays are snatch day, Tuesdays are clean and jerks, and then Thursdays are snatch and clean and jerks. So those are my 3 Olympic lifting days. And then as for what I put in between and around that, so I didn't even mention this, I also do strongman, and I have a strongman meet in September that I've signed up for, where I decided I want to compete not in the novice class, but in the open class. And the way the weight classes break, I'm not going to try to be a lightweight anymore. I'm going to be a middleweight. So I signed up for open middleweight when
serious business now. Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I got to hang with the big girls. How strong can I get by September? And so I like looked at my schedule and everything, and you know, with things only just starting to come back online after COVID, like I don't have like a ton of, you know, meets on the schedule or anything. It's like, okay, I'm going to put my focus on this. The middleweight class tops out at like 75 kilos. I've been competing in weightlifting as a 64. I'm just going to get as big and strong as I can by September. And so it's like my long-term goal. And it's just like, how strong can I get if I don't have to worry about fitting into some specific weight class? So, so I am doing like the like hardest hypertrophy programs I can find. So right now I'm doing building the monolith. If you've heard of that one, it's a 3-day program. So I have 3 days of Olympic lifting, 3 days of building the monolith. And I have, and then on Saturdays I do like an events day for strongman to like practice the strongman stuff. And so I'll do some bending, you know, maybe on Wednesdays or on Saturdays. I don't really have a like consistent day for it, but I'll try to bend like at least once a week.
Yeah. And how many bends are you doing on those days?
So I guess, so I don't have like a really like solid routine that I do the same thing every time. But one thing that I do is when I was like buying some nails and stuff, the timber ties I could only get in a 10-pound bucket. So I have a 10-pound bucket of timber ties. And I was like, oh, I don't want to buy this bucket. And then I was like, you know, I kind of worked the numbers. It was like 140 timber ties or something. And I was like, okay, if I do three of these a week, then by the end of the year, I'll be through the bucket. And after I bend 140 timber ties, like I have to be at least a little bit better at this. So, so that's like my long-term training plan. It's not the only thing I do, but
yeah,
but like every bending session, I make sure to bend at least three timber ties. And,
okay,
you know, and then I might try something harder, or I might just like bend more timber ties. The other day I went and bent 10 of them in a row. And,
nice.
You know, depending on like what I'm in the mood for, I might bend some other stuff. So
now are you playing around with the other styles at all? You mentioned a little snapping, but do you mess with reverse and double underhand at all?
I haven't. I've tried underhand and it is very difficult, but I tried it like just the other day for the first time. And I actually,
yep.
I was surprised I was able to bend anything at all, but I got some like 3/16ths and I can probably check my notebook. I'm not sure. I'm trying to remember what I did, because there was a bunch of stuff where I was like, oh, well, I'll be able to do this. And then I couldn't do it. Oh, I tried some, I did some 3/16ths pieces and I did some 20 pennies underhand, and I could not do any quarter inch and I could not do a grade two bolt. I also tried doing some braced like between the legs, which I've seen people do, and I guess it's supposed to like give you better leverage or something. I cannot figure out how to make it work for me. So that would be.
It's definitely like some technique to that, because I can remember specifically reaching out to Don Cummings and being like, I don't get this. Like, it's like, I feel like I should be able to, you know, I forget what the thing I was trying to do, but it was like the leg crush hadn't clicked for me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And then like, I kept working with it, and that like, ultimately became something that I got relatively good at. Just keep working with it. You'll find a spot where like where all the power comes from, and then you'll be able to do like way crazier, bigger stuff. It's fun to do the braced bending like that, like the specifically the leg crush, because the other braced bending can be pretty brutal, which is also fun. Have you played around with any of the mid to long bar stuff?
No, I haven't.
Okay, that is like, I just went back to it a little bit, just like a couple weeks ago. I did some, but I hadn't done any for months, because I felt like it took such a physical toll, like it, that like 5/8 by 30 or 30 minus 30, we're talking about a very difficult thing that's like wildly taxing on like every part of your body, that I felt like I just didn't want to be run down like that anymore. So it's just like, that's kind of where I'm at with like a lot of the bending, is like, because I do enjoy, like I'm doing some strongman type training as well, and like regular lifting, and now throw grappling back in the mix. It's like the toll of near max effort bend takes on me, it's like I don't want to feel that fried for other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like I'm sort of picking and choosing like when I do what, you know.
Yeah, that's something I've been wondering about too, you know, with the way I have to like, you know, get all of my different types of lifting in. Like I know that if I deadlift too soon before like a snatch day, like I'm just not very coordinated on my snatches. So do you find that like bends are like that, even like short bends?
I mean, if it's anything that's near like full effort, I felt like really like taxed me to where like if I then switched over the next day or maybe even the day after and did something that would require a lot, like a large majority of my strength, it just like I remember saying specifically, I just feel like I have no snap to anything, you know. It's just like I didn't feel like I had like any like extra to give, and I think that was just like from frying myself doing a lot of torturous like max effort bends, and I really fell in love with the snapping. So that's like reach your max effort and then do that for like 8 minutes straight or whatever it takes to like bend some of the crazy stuff, which is just like it's just exploring like what works for you, I guess, you know. And it's like so many guys, and it's so fun, but so many people were like, yeah, you're doing way too much of this. You need to be like 1 or 2 days a week. Like, never, don't do this every other day. And I was like, oh, it's so fun. And I'm taking down all these things and stuff. And then it's like, Yeah, 100%. I agree. Like 1 or 2 days a week max if you're doing anything that requires a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense because, you know, if I'm into something, I want to do it like all the time. And
yeah,
you know, I'm glad that like with all of, you know, everybody on like Instagram or wherever that like I was seeing people say things like only do it once a week. And it's like, oh, okay. You know,
yeah,
I might have to listen to that.
Right. Totally. How about horseshoes? Do you have any plans to check those out at all?
I've never done it, never tried it. I don't have immediate plans to do it, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah, you should. I think that's like a specific, because it's like once you get into the realm of bending, it's all just like short steel. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like there's just, and yes, it is exciting, and like the, in my opinion, like the rosters are neat and all of this is cool, but it's like still there's just something about the shape of the horseshoe. Like my first horseshoe bend like meant a lot. That one was just like felt really cool, like I was tapping into something like very hard. And it's like, even I guess maybe like similar to a wrench or something like that. That's just something people see on Instagram and like are like, whoa, like you bent that, you know. And it's like that one's neat. So you got to get yourself some like St. Croix ultralights. Mm-hmm. And watch Tom Flesher's video that I have on the YouTube channel of how to wrap it proper and everything like that. And I'm sure you'll blast right through it.
Awesome. Yeah, that would be fun someday.
So what do you like? It's hard to articulate, I guess, but like when you first saw bending, you thought why, and then you tried it. And so like, what kind of keeps you coming back to bending? I'd just like to hear like, what does it do for you? Do you feel like it's making you stronger in some way? Is it testing your will? Like, what do you like about it that keeps you doing it 1 to 2 times a week?
Yeah. So it's not, I don't do it to make me stronger for other things. I kind of see strength as like the thing that lets you do the cool, weird shit. So like if you ever do like all round lifts in like a normal public gym, which I have done, like you get, first of all, you get people coming up to tell you you're doing it wrong. And then you have to be like, no, this is a competitive lift, I swear. But then they'll say things like, so what muscles does that work? Like, I don't know. So when it comes to bending, I don't bend for what it does for me, but I love the idea of like getting stronger and better so that I can bend a different thing. And in terms of like what makes me keep on doing it, I think it's sort of that same feeling I had that first time where I was like, this is impossible. And then as soon as I had decided it was impossible, I did it. And
right.
It's just that feeling of like doing impossible things. Like none of this should be possible. Like, right. Why should I be able to bend a nail? Why should I be able to bend a bolt? Like that's not a thing, you know, a thing that like people can do. And even if there are people who can do it, like, why should I be a person who can do it? Like, especially like being a woman and being a smaller person, like there are a lot of things that I can't do that I see people doing who are strong. And this is a thing that like every single thing that I bend is a thing where I'm like, huh, I can do that. I did an impossible thing. And like,
right.
Impossible things just keep falling. So, you know, and so, you know, knowing that there are all these rosters, like I want to get my name on these rosters. Like that's,
yeah, totally.
You know, like with all round, it's like, I want to get my name in the record books. I want to be, you know, better than like these three other women who are like my rivals, who I've decided are my rivals, whether they know it or not. You know, like I like picking like very specific little goals. And like, so it's like, okay, the red nail, I'm going to work on that, you know, and yeah. Like what's between me and the red nail. So there's some other stuff, you know, right now, like I'm very close, I think, to the goose bar. And yeah. It's like, I'm going to get this goose bar. What do I need to do to get this goose bar?
Right. Shout out Ben Sport Canada.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what's between you and the red nail is all the Horito bolts. And when you order those, you want to use promo code CHEERS, which will save you 10%. And some of that will come back to help me support the show. But you got to be close to the 4.8, I would imagine. Like that's like grade 5 territory, I would think. And it's like 5/16 by 7. So it feels really cool and looks really cool because it's like red nail shape. Yeah. And then A4 is not a big jump from there, really. Like I'm sure you'll be taking those down soon.
Yeah, I ordered I think those were the two. It was the two easiest bolts he has.
Yeah, that's and, the 4.8 and the A4.
Yeah, so, and I tried it and I couldn't get it, the one that I tried. And it was one of those where I'm like looking at it afterwards, like, did it bend? Did it bend a little bit? I can't tell.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but like, yeah, that's kind of where I am with like those and with grade fives. And so like, that's about where I am. So yeah, I'm going to try to get those Greedo bolts and the goose and, you know, work my way up. So
If you go to McMaster Car, you can get grade five bolts at 7 inches and maybe even longer too, if you want to like start long and cheat yourself down to 6. I know some people have had success with that, and I can send you the link after. It's like just a bolt supply or like tool manufacturing company, and
they have really good stuff. At one point, yeah,
they're good, and I think you can. I think you can definitely get a 7-inch grade five off of them, and same with the grade eights too. There's like they go up too. There's like some 5/16 like grade eights that I was like thinking about ordering for snapping. I think Dan Dring did one of those. Looks like an awful bolt to snap. So how about the mental aspect, the mental side? We kind of touched on it. Like, what do you think, like what is the relevance to like a strong mental training for you in bending? Because obviously it takes a strong mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think bending has actually, this is one where bending has done a lot for my mental game. Just that, you know, like with a lot of lifts, it's like, okay, there's this many pounds on the bar and you can lift it or you can't. But with bending, it's like, you know, because it's like a little bit harder to know like what you should be able to do. Like should is one of those words that can like limit you sometimes. And so it's like, I don't necessarily know what I should do or what I can do. And, you know, so like, it's really fun to see impossible things become possible. And
right.
And also just having gone through that sort of beginner stage where like, yeah, I'm like fixing my technique a little bit. I'm learning more about different wraps and stuff. But like a big part of what got me a lot of those things that I never thought I could do was just like believing harder, just trying harder. And it really just like goes to show you like the power of that, the power of just like being stubborn and getting mad at it.
Which,
you know, it doesn't always work with every lift, but like, just really like shows you that you have more power than you realize sometimes.
Right. And you know what else kind of like I love about bending that I sort of wish carried over to the other stuff is like, I could take the 12.9 bolt from Harita and try as hard as I can to bend it. And most likely nothing bad's going to happen unless I'm like cold or whatever. But I know if I put like, if I go try to bench press 500 pounds, I'm gonna get crushed. You know what I mean? Like, or like if I even try to like deadlift like well above my max, I'm gonna blow my lower back out. Like, it's like the fact that we can explore these territories that are like maybe well beyond our limits without any physical repercussion is kind of a unique thing. That's very cool. You know, like I like that because it's sort of just like, yeah, I guess I'll try it. I guess I'll cut it down a few inches and try it. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? And there have been catastrophic injuries that I've heard of, but it's like, it's just kind of neat that like worst case scenario, you're doing some like isometric training unless you're doing something crazy, you know?
Yeah. Well, I kind of don't see it that way. At least in lifting in general, like I've tried things I can't do. And, you know, like I've definitely back when my best deadlift was like 2 something, I walked over to like 315 that somebody had set up and I was like, I'm going to do this. I think I just had a meet and I felt really great. Yeah. And I just like walked over and pulled it and it didn't go anywhere. And I'm like, all right. But like, and even
with Olympic don't tell lifts, me this. I'm going to be dead tomorrow.
Uh-oh. Well, with Olympic lifts, the other cool thing is like, that's something that like people that don't lift or don't do Olympic lifts will see me like try a snatch and like I don't quite get it and it goes over my head and behind me and I'm dropping it and they're like, oh my god, that's so scary. It's like they bounce, you just drop it. They bounce, you know. Or if I'm benching, like I have the safety set up, I've got like a rack at home with safeties and it's like I don't mind, you know, trying a bench that's bigger than I've tried before because like either I get it or I set it down on the safeties. So
right,
I guess that's you know, maybe that's something you can take from bending into the your other lifting, that like
you don't
have to be afraid to fail. Like there's nothing here that like is worth being afraid of, or any lift that I was ever like afraid to try, like by the time I actually, you know, did it, it's like, so you fail, you know, so you drop it, you know.
Right Yeah, maybe I'll have to explore a little bit with that. I'm just worried about my shoulders exploding. Like I feel like I'll get it up, but then it's just like, what, while I'm pushing it off of me, like my something's just gonna break. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, well, it's, I mean, especially with like the Olympic lifts, like the thing is, when the bar is heavy enough, like you try to push it away from you, you're actually pushing yourself away from it more. And like, yeah, you only need to push it like an inch to get it to where it's not going to like fall on you or whatever.
Right. So
it's good to be fearless. And I don't know, like definitely, not being afraid of stuff has gotten me pretty far.
That's good. All right. We're going to start wrapping up. So here comes the medley. This is a rapid fire series of questions. So favorite thing to bend, as we're talking material here.
Ooh. I really like those grade 2 bolts. They're easy, but they're like, they just go down real smooth. Like that's like a good bend to me.
Did you see, I think my first exposure to Josh Goldthorpe was Devin sending me a video of him bending a grade 2 bolt with like only tissues in his palm to like as padding. It's nuts. It's nuts. All right, hardest thing to bend for you, material-wise.
Oh, well, I think I've told you some of them. It's I have a list. It's like my shit list. It's like the goose bar is really tough. I've bent it, but like not under certification conditions. I have some drill rod that's pretty similar. I have those grade 5 bolts that I can't quite get. I have like those 60 pennies that that I can like just make them budge a little bit, but not quite bend all the way. So
yeah,
that probably like that's my shit list.
Yeah. Strongest bending style for you, double overhand.
Yeah.
And weakest style,
I guess it would be that between the legs thing, because I just have not the leg figured crush out how to get power out of that.
Okay, cool. And how about something outside of bending and strength training that you enjoy?
Ooh, I like to do a lot of like crafting. Like I'll knit or I'll sew.
Cool.
I really like being able to like just like fix things, like something like my kids like wear through the knees on their pants and it's like, oh, I know how to fix that. Or, you know, I wanted to sandbag. Like I bought like a really nice like 150 pound sandbag and I was like, oh, but I'd kind of like to have a 100 pounder too, but I don't want to buy a whole nother sandbag. So I like, you know, got out my like 9th grade geometry skills and worked out, okay, well, if I make a circle this size and then a rectangle this size and I'll sew it this way and I know what kind of seam to put on it so it's not going to fall apart. And
nice.
So it's cool to be able to just like make a thing when you want a thing.
What did you use for material on that?
It was just a canvas, like a cotton canvas. Oh, okay. I bought it to make like backpacks or something years ago and I never made the backpack and I was like, oh, this will be perfect. So
yeah. I had like I have a 200 pound sandbag and I wanted 100, so I was like, I just put like 100 pounds of sand in like 3 garbage bags and then put like 2 pillowcases over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like loading it to my shoulder for reps and I just like poked my thumb through the whole thing.
Oh,
and
no.
Like sand just started going everywhere while I was doing this. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know if I'll be doing any more homemade sandbags.
Yeah. Yeah. Try the canvas. I mean, you can get like canvas duffel bags or like heavy duty canvas laundry bags is what I've seen people do. But like, I literally just had the fabric and I was like, I can do this. I can flat fell a seam. I'll double stitch this other one, you know?
Nice. Nice. What's the one bend that's gotten away so far? So something you've attempted and haven't been able to complete? The goose bar?
Yeah. I'd say the goose. That's
nice.
So close.
Nice. And who's the strongest person you know? This is open-ended. This is totally specific to you. This could be like your grandma or like, you know, somebody that you know in the strength world.
Yeah, I'm going to say, you know, the strongest person that I know personally, I'd have to say my weightlifting coach, Tom Dewar.
Awesome.
At PFP Barbell. He won his weight class in nationals this year. And I know that was like a big goal of his where he was like 17th and then he was like 7th and then like 5th a couple of times and stuff.
Wow.
And he talks about you know, like he's posted on Instagram a few times and stuff about like, you know, how, you know, like his just like mental strength is also like something that's really great to look up to, that like he knew he had a long road ahead of him and he was like, I'm gonna do this, and you know, like finally got there, and it's exciting to see. And he's also just like a phenomenally strong human being, and so
nice. It's
really cool to be able to train with him.
That's great. All right, best piece of advice you were ever given. This could be about training or just life in general.
Yeah, actually, I could tell you something that that my coach told me at one point. I was having like a goal setting call with him, and you know, and I said something like about like, well, I have some. He was like, what numbers do you want to hit? And I was like, well, you know, I don't know like exactly what's realistic within this time frame or whatever. And he said, what's the point in having realistic goals?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. When you put it that way, that's a good point. And you know, he said like, better to aim high and miss than aim low and hit. And and I've that's definitely stuck with me. And I will tell you one other one that comes to mind when I think about the same thing. So I don't know who said it first, but I know Cale Beck tweeted it not too long ago. He said something like, there are two kinds of people who succeed in strength sports: people who are genetically gifted and people who are too stubborn to care that they're not.
Nice.
I like that too.
That's good. Awesome. All right, what's the funniest reaction a person has had when they find out you're out there bending nails?
I don't think I've had any like funny reactions. People either like don't say anything or they think it's cool. They very often think it's cooler than I do. But like when I bent, like one of the first things I bent, I shared it with some friends of mine on like an online Discord, and one of them was just like, that's queen shit. Like, oh, okay. Like, I feel very special now. I think that was like a piece of 316s or something, but it was just like, okay, that's queen shit. I'm gonna take that with me.
That's a good response. Yeah. I feel like everybody just becomes a comedian. That's like my experience. It's just like, you know, I do this thing and everybody's just joking about like damaging a perfectly good whatever it was, you know. Mm-hmm. All right. In closing, who's someone you'd like to see me have on the show?
Okay, so I thought about this, and you've had like a lot of people on who might be like the obvious big names, but I was thinking, okay, who's done some cool stuff that that you, as far as I know, haven't had on? And I can think of two women that I've seen bending things on like Instagram and stuff. One of them's Melody Schoenfeld, I think her handle is like 5 feet of fury. And she does, I don't know if she does any short steel, but I know she's definitely done horseshoes and long bending. Like some different grip stuff. I saw her doing like Saxon bar deadlifts and stuff like that.
Cool.
She does like strongman stuff, so I think she would be really cool. And I know Hannah the Destroyer she bent a hammer not too long ago.
I saw that.
Yeah, I don't know if she does any other bending. I know she coaches strongman. Cool. And she also talks a lot about like the mental game and like getting women into strongman and like, you know, like mental things that might be holding you back. So she might be interesting to talk to.
Cool. Yeah. You know, like that would be great. Definitely message me those, when we get off. Yeah. You know, we're dealing with a super small sport here. You know, like I said, when I spoke to Amanda Hudson, is like, and there's even fewer females in there, you know. Are there any other female benders you want to give a shout out to? Like,
I think that's pretty much everybody I can think of. If I'm missing anybody, I'll feel really bad about it. But like,
yeah,
there just aren't that many, and it'll be cool to see more.
Definitely, especially now. You know, I think Don is having a women's division at his competition coming up next week. I believe Chris Stillwell's wife, Bree, does some bending. And David Horn's wife, Elizabeth Horn, does some bending too. They're in the UK, so they won't be at that competition. But there's definitely a handful, and it's cool to see, especially like as more rosters have like female lists and stuff like that. It's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right. How about tips and advice for beginners of all kinds, let's say bending included, and lifting and so on?
Beginners of all kinds. that's such a big, you know, I would say if I could give some advice that's just sort of like overarching advice for anything, it's that consistency beats perfection. And
good.
A lot of times, especially in lifting, you know, people make a big deal about like good form or whatever. And I see a lot of people, especially a lot of women, but also a lot of beginners of any sort, sort of like feel like they need permission to go to the next level, or like, you know, your squat has to be perfect before you add weight or something like that. And like, sometimes I just think like, what would a dumb bro do? Because like a dumb bro would like add the weight anyway and go and squat anyway. And they might not be doing the best job of it, but they would still get stronger. And like, you can always fix your technique later, you know, as long as you're not doing anything like disastrously horrible. And I think a lot of us can do more things than we think we can, as long as we like, you know, like you don't have to wait for somebody to give you permission to do the thing, like find a way to do it anyway. And that'll get you pretty far. And for bending specifically, the advice I would give to a beginner, or that I would give to like myself, you know, before I tried it, is that there is something out there you can bend. Because, you know, I started with the 3/16 stuff, and I have three kids. So at one point I went to my 11-year-old and I said, hey, do you want to try bending a nail? And he was really excited. He's like, yeah. And so I took a 7-inch piece of 3/16 and wrapped it up for him. The other thing I would tell beginners is like, the wraps are important. Like, actually look that up and do that, get them nice and tight. And so I gave it to him, and it was hard for him, but he managed to bend it double overhand. And he was so excited. And so my next youngest kid is 8. And so I was like, okay, I don't know if you can bend this, but here you go. And I gave it to him and I told him how to do it. And he tried and he couldn't get it to bend. But he really wanted it to bend. And so he started just like doing anything he could. He was like bracing it against his body. He started like doing it against the floor. And I said, no, not the floor. But he got it like between his legs. Like he crushed it between his knees. Did that thing I can't do. And like, he managed to bend it. And
that's great.
Cool. And now I have a 5-year-old. And I was like, okay, I don't think you can do this. But let me get some thinner steel. Let's see. And the other day I was at the hardware store and they had 1/8. And so I got the 1/8 and I gave her a 7-inch piece. And she put it, she had like textbook form, because I guess she's been watching me, and she put it under her neck. And I didn't post this one publicly, but I can show you. But she was so excited and she was so nervous, and she put it under her neck and she got it to bend, and she managed to do it. And then she wanted to do another one. And she did like, on her first day, she did like 4 of these little 1/8 nails. And like got them, I showed her how to like measure and see if it's 2 inches. And she was so excited. So my 5-year-old can bend 1/8 cold rolled round stock that was 7 inches long. She was also able to do 6 inches long. So if you want to get into bending and you don't know if you can bend anything, there is definitely something you can bend.
Oh yeah, absolutely. My son Caden is 9 and he's been along for the ride with me. And
awesome.
He's a heavy duty leg crusher and snapper. Like, he's done a lot of crazy stuff, like just watching me and then wanting to do it. He competed in the David Horn competition and all this stuff, and like he's braced between the legs like a easier 60 penny and stuff, and he's just like gets all pumped. It's so fun. And we did like a little so on David Horn's page there's a thing called the man killer snap, and that's snapping a grade 5, a grade 8, and a red nail in a row. And I did like once especially for him, and I think it was like 3/16 by like 7, 3/16 by 6, and then like 1/4 inch by something long or whatever. And it was like the young man killer challenge, and like I posted it on Instagram and he was so proud. It was cool. It's definitely like a fun thing to share with your kids, you know, like that's like maybe more interesting than me like having him do goblet squats with a kettlebell or something. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets pretty bored of that pretty quick, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And all right, so where can people find you if they want to reach out with questions or anything like that?
I think the best place to get in touch with me is on Instagram. So I'm Beth SKW.
Okay, awesome. And any events, brands, or gear, or you mentioned your gym, you want to shout out anything else before we wrap up?
Yeah. My gym is PFP Barbell. So it's Pittsburgh Fitness Project. What else? I'll put in a plug for US All Round Weightlifting. So that's USAWA.
Nice.
And Iowa International All Round Weightlifting Association is the international one. So Iowa is on Instagram. USAWA is just, you know, they have a website, but like go and look up either of their websites and look up their rule book. The US organization actually has more lifts. So just like look, just like open up the rule book and pick something cool, because everything there, like whether you compete in it or not, like there's just so many cool ideas that you will not realize people ever thought to lift a thing that way. Like whatever right. your background is, you will find something new to you in there, and it's pretty fun.
That's awesome. And special shout out to Ben Sport Canada, as we mentioned a couple times. Everybody should go support them to update their roster real fast, get their stuff out real fast to you. And their stuff is really tough, so you can take a lot of pride in bending that. Maybe even get one of those elite steel bender dog tags that look very cool. And also Harito, as I mentioned, you know, like maybe someone else can be the second person to Josh Goldthorpe to get on every single roster. So those are the things you guys want to be checking out for. And Beth, thanks so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. This was great.
All right. This will come out this weekend. I look forward to hearing from you. Have a good rest of the night.
All right. You too. Good night.
Bye.